Paschatyadeshatarane. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, The Creative Impetus, Chapter Number 5, Lord Rishabhadev's Teachings to His Son, Text Number 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Karmashayam Hridaya Granthi Bandham Avidyaya Saditam Apramata Anena Yogena Yatopadesham Samyag Vyapoho, Vyapokhyo Parameta Yogat Karamashayam Hridaya Granti Bandham Avidya Yasaditam Apramatta Anena Yogena Yatopadesham Samyag Vyapoyo Parameta Yogat. Please chant. Ladies, anyone else? K karma ashayam, the desire for fruitive activities. Hridaya granti, the knot in the heart. Bandham, bondage. Avidyaya, because of ignorance. Asaditam, brought about. Apramata, not being covered by ignorance or illusion. Very careful. Anena, by this. Yogena, practice of yoga. Yata upadesham, as advised. Samyak, completely. Vyapokhya, becoming free from. Uparameta, one should desist. Yogat, from the practice of yoga, the means of liberation. Translation, if you would please respond. As I have advised you, my dear sons, you should act accordingly. Be very careful. By these means, you will be freed from the ignorance of the desire for fruitive activity and the knot of bondage in the heart will be completely severed. For further advancement, you should also give up the means. That is, you should not become attached to the process of liberation itself. Purport. The process of liberation is Brahma Jigyasa, the search for the Absolute Truth. Generally, Brahma Jigyasa is called Neti Neti, the process by which one analyzes existence to search out the Absolute Truth. This method continues as long as one is not situated in his spiritual life. Spiritual life is Brahma Bhuta, the self-realized state. In the words of Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Shochati Na Kankshati Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. The idea is to enter into the para bhakti, the transcendental devotional service of the Supreme Lord. To attain this, one must analyze one's existence. That when one is actually engaged in devotional service, he should not bother seeking out knowledge. By simply engaging in devotional service, undeviatingly, one will always remain in the liberated condition. Mang chayo viabhijarena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. The unflinching execution of devotional service is in itself Brahma Bhuta. Another important feature in this connection is Anena Yogena Yato Badesham. The instructions received from the spiritual master must be followed immediately. One should not deviate from or surpass the instructions of the spiritual master. One should not be simply intent on consulting books, but should simultaneously execute the spiritual master's order, yatobadesham. Mystic power should be achieved to enable one to give up the material conception. But when one actually engages in devotional service, one does not need to practice the mystic yoga system. The point is that one can give up the practice of yoga, but devotional service cannot be given up. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Atmaramas Chamunayo Nirgranta Apyukrame Kuravant Yahitikin Bhaktim Ittam Abhuta Guno Hari. Even those who are liberated, Atmarama, must always engage in devotional service. One may give up the practice of yoga when one is self-realized, but at no stage can one give up devotional service. All other activities for self-realization, including yoga and philosophical speculation, may be given up, but devotional service must be retained at all times. Please bear with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Trinadapi Sunichena Tsarodiva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahare. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Name Vakibalam. Kalo Nastiva, Nastiva, Nastiva Gatir Anyata. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishabhdev, is speaking to his 100 sons, headed by Bharat. He is giving them very important instructions. He is, first of all, saying that they should act according to what he's been telling them. Prabhupada mentioned in the purport that one should immediately execute the order of the spiritual master. And Lord Rishabhdev was also saying, be very careful. And he says, you will be freed from the ignorance of the desire for fruitive activity. So yes, that desire for fruitive activity, that is ignorance. That is the actual enemy of the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul is not actually fit for sense gratification, although the living entity thinks that he or she is fit for sense gratification, but experience will prove time and time again that sense gratification, fruitive activity, will ultimately prove to be frustrating. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, where in chapter 3, Arjuna asks the question, why is it I'm impelled to sinful acts, sometimes even against my will, as if by force? Krishna said, it's lust only. And then there is Krishna's analysis of lust, how it is never to be satisfied and burns like fire. Many years ago here in Los Angeles and I think Detroit, there was this burn, baby, burn. The streets were on fire. People were rioting. But that is symptomatic of the conditioned soul, that we're trying to enjoy these senses, to exploit the material energy, but it must prove to be frustrating. It is designed by Krishna. It's infallible. If I engage in sense gratification, I must be frustrated. And after frustration, anger. So the mode of passion will ultimately lead to the mode of ignorance, bewilderment, confusion. We read in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita, the downward cycle. It all begins with contemplation of the objects of the senses. That's where it begins. That's why Krishna said in chapter 2 also, that if you're free, if you're aloof, from the objects of the senses, then you can have steady intelligence. But as soon as I start to contemplate on the objects of the senses, then the spiral begins. We have five knowledge acquiring senses. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the sense of touch or the skin. And as soon as these senses come in contact with their objects, sight, sound, taste, form, touch, smell, because the senses and the sense objects are intimately connected and automatically attracted, it's a scientific process. The advertising agencies know this better than I do. That's why they make those advertisements, commercials, billboards, and spend millions of dollars designing it in such a way that as soon as it catches your attention, you're captured like the fish on the hook. And as Kali Yuga progresses, it'll become more and more and more irresistible. Those of us who lived in the 50s and the 60s, you know how year after year they get more explicit, more demoniac, more crafty, so sinister, because they want to capture you. They want you to fall into illusion. They want you to suffer. They want you to burn, baby, burn. That's what they want. Because if they get you, they got your money. That's all they want. They don't care about you. They just want to exploit you. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta said, cheaters and the cheated. This materialistic world, that's all that's happening. Somebody is cheating and somebody's being cheated. Beginning with the government. Biggest cheaters of them all. We just went through 8 years. I hope you're listening there, FBI, CIA. I know you're not. But it begins from there. Because they're all rascals. And they're simply exploiting. We learn this from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse number 5. Aparayamitas tvanyang prakriting vidime param jiva bhuta mahamaho daryate. Yayedam daryate jagat. Now, if you look at the word for word translations, daryate. Two meanings are given, utilized and exploited. I always take that utilized, that's for the devotees. Doesn't we say in ISKCON, utility is the principle. So, we are not opposed to the material energy because we know whose energy it is. It's for Krishna's. It is his material energy. It is for his purpose. Devotees utilize the material energy to serve Krishna. Microphone, computer, cars. Look at this temple. It's made of material ingredients. It's not that it's some kind of hocus pocus that's just... No, it's material things, but the material things have been used to serve Krishna. But the other meaning of dharyate is exploitation. And that's what the non-devotee is doing. Using Krishna's energy for his or own sense gratification. And that's where the burning begins. Right from there. As soon as I touch or use anything, material energy, and it's not for Krishna's satisfaction, immediately I become entangled. It's axiomatic, scientific. And it's just a matter of time when I'm going to be frustrated, angry, crying, all kinds of negative emotions and experiences. Krishna consciousness is teaching me, no, this material energy is not for your enjoyment. You can use it, but use it for Krishna. Thus, like, if I go to your apartment, say I go to Suvasa's apartment, everything in that apartment is not mine. I'm invited as a guest. So everything in that apartment belongs to Suvasa Tadit. I cannot touch one thing and say, oh, this is mine. Immediately, yes, yeah, see what Suvasa did? Everything in that apartment belongs to them. Not one inch of that belongs to me. So the devotee, what's his vision? The devotee's vision is everything he sees, everything he touches, smells, oh, this is not mine. This is Krishna's. And as soon as I think even one flower, oh, let me pluck it for my lusty girlfriend. Ah, criminal. Criminal activity. Immediately. Because that is the devotee, that's how the devotee has this vision. This is Krishna consciousness. Everything belongs to Krishna. Everything? Yes, everything. My body. Ah. I am so ensconced in thinking this is my body. No, it's not. Krishna is giving me this body to use for him. It's not that this is my body for my sense gratification. This is the defect of materialistic cheating religions. Materialistic cheating religions let you believe that there's a thing called manifest destiny. That this material world is, yes, God has given you this world to enjoy. And that's how you get materialistic cheating religion. Because and what did Vyasadeva get chastised by Narada on this point? You have verily encouraged people to enjoy in the name of religion. This is verily condemned. That was one of the first things that Narada chastised Vyasadeva. That people are going to start thinking that it's okay, that it's religious to enjoy material sense gratification. But Bhagavatam, Krishna consciousness is teaching no. Sense gratification is poison. It is poison for the soul. Because the soul is not fit for sense gratification. It's just not fit. The soul is meant for service. And the best service of Vishika Isha, the Lord of the senses, Krishna, God. That is who our body, senses, material energy is meant to enjoy. He's the enjoyer. Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, the peace formula, the first item of the peace formula in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, verse 29. Krishna is the enjoyer. I never read in the Bhagavad Gita, Narantara Das is the enjoyer. No, I'm not going to find that in any Prabhupada's books. No, Krishna is the enjoyer. Yes, if I wrote my own book, Narantara Gita, the first statement would be, Narantara is the enjoyer. But he's not. Narantara Das is not the enjoyer. He is the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Billion times down. And Krishna consciousness is simply a process of getting rid of the last shred of that consciousness that's still there deep in the core of my heart thinking, yeah, but I can still, there's something I can enjoy. There must be something. There must be some way I can enjoy. Yes, the last snare of Maya. The last snare of Maya. Yeah, you're God. You're it. You're supreme. Just, no. I'm not. I am God's servant, nothing more, nothing less. And Krishna consciousness chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chanting means more and more going deeper and deeper and deeper to get rid of that last shred of, yes, I'm the enjoyer. Like an onion, right? Anyone who's dealt with onions, layer after layer after layer after layer, this layers. So, the next thing, the knot of bondage in the heart will be completely severed. That is the burning sensation. The knot of bondage in the heart. That bondage in the heart, that knot, means I want to enjoy this material world. I want to be the enjoyer. That it's a knot, and we heard earlier this week, right? The man and woman come together, and that knot becomes so tight. So, and he becomes tighter and tighter and tighter. But, we have a sword. The sword can cut that knot. That sword is the sword of knowledge, or the sword of detachment, the sword of Prabhupada's instructions, the chanting of the Maha Mantra, and as Prabhupada repeatedly mentioned in the purport, devotional service, devotional service. Yes, you can give up yoga, you can give up speculation, that's okay, but you cannot give up devotional service. We learned in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, renunciation alone cannot make one happy. You have to be engaged in devotional service. Hearing, chanting, remembering, praying, serving. The nine different items, especially hearing and chanting. This is what is going to cut that knot, hard knot, of material attraction and attachment. And then it says, what does Rishabhdev say? You should also give up the means. That is, you should not become attached to the process of liberation itself. Yes. The devotee that Lord Chaitanya teaches, Mama Jandani Jandanishwade. My Lord, whether I get liberated or not, it's not my concern. But please, give me causeless devotional service. Or later on in that Shikshastakam chapter, Lord Chaitanya says, give me the salary of ecstatic love. If you say you work for a boss, and you go to your boss. Boss, you don't have to pay me. I just want ecstatic love for your smelly feet. No. He'll think you're crazy. But he might just take you up on it. Sure, okay. No problem. You can work extra hours. And you can worship my lotus feet. Yes, there are bosses like that. I've met them in the material world. But that is what Lord Chaitanya is saying to Krishna, my Lord. Just give me causeless, unmotivated service at your lotus feet. Whether or not I get liberated is inconsequential. Because Lord Chaitanya knows that if I am engaged in this devotional service without any motivation and without check, I am already liberated. I can be liberated even in this lifetime, and those of us who saw Prabhupada, you saw what it was like to see someone liberated in the flesh. You knew somehow or other that intuitively. When you saw Prabhupada, when you heard Prabhupada, intuitively in the heart of your hearts you knew, this is the real thing. This is the person who's walking the walk, talking the talk. It's not just simply academic, as you may have had a professor, or you may have had a yogi or a teacher, but it was academic. They weren't really the thing they were talking about. But when you saw Prabhupada, you knew, here he is, the real thing. And this is what we are meant to become also. This is the point some people say that only Prabhupada. No, we are meant to be like that. We are also meant to become just like Prabhupada in that sense. The real thing. Self-realized. Krishna conscious. able to actually deliver the fallen conditioned souls. The real thing. Not that I talk it, but the actual thing, no, I'm not there. No, we are meant to become that. We are meant to become 100% self-realized, pure devotees of the Lord. And Prabhupada has given us everything necessary for that end. Everything. He has not cheated us. He has not left something out. No, it's all there. He puts it straight out there in his books. In each and every one of his books. Even you just read the first canto. Sufficient. It's there. Read the Bhagavad Gita. It's all there. I have found the last couple of years, everything is in Krishna book. Everything is there. But the problem is application. That's the problem. Application. Therefore, the only hope, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kivalam, Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name. What part of that don't I understand yet? That is the question. What part? All right, Bhrigupati, you would like to open the floor for discussion? Hit me with your best shot.
Were you saying about how Krishna is the proprietor, and you gave that nice example about how, you know, if you went into Savasta's apartment, you couldn't touch one thing because it's all his property. But in the Isopanishad, the first mantra, it says everything is owned and controlled by the Lord, therefore one should only accept one's quota. So it sounds like we are meant to, you know, use some of Krishna's property there, because it's talking about how we're, you know, meant to accept the quota, so...
That quota is for you to serve Krishna. It doesn't say your quota to exploit. Just like my father used to give me an allowance, 25 cents. But that doesn't mean that 25 cents is for me to buy cigarettes. My father would have beat me to a pulp. That 25 cents was for authorized activities. So yes, you're given a quota for what? Not to exploit your senses, but to, Krishna wants to see, okay, I'm giving you your quota. Let me see what you do with it. Are you going to go to hell? Or are you going to elevate yourself? Sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. One must elevate himself by his own mind, not degrade himself. So yes, Krishna gives you a quota. Now what do I do? Do I elevate or degrade? And when Krishna sees, oh, I've given you this and you're degrading, now I'm not giving you any more. Just like a father would. If my father saw that I took the 25 cents and I went to buy cigarettes, he's not going to give me any more money. Because he knows a stupid fool. But if he sees that I took that 25 cents... and I used it, okay, now I'm going to give you an increase. So God is the same way. Why is America going down? Because God has given them so much wealth, and what have they done? Killed, raped, murdered, killing cows, sin after sin after sin, therefore America's going down. It's payback time. The karma has run out, and Krishna's restricting. Now suffer. Therefore, the only hope for America is not Obama. It's the Krishna consciousness movement. And they better listen. And they better start wising up and taking to Krishna consciousness. What do you think?
Yeah, thank you. That's great.
You're very welcome. Next challenge. Yes?
Thank you for class. The purport... it speaks about devotional service. Can you tell us, the devotional service that would be offensive and offenselessly to perform devotional service?
Devotional service is under the direction of the spiritual master. Read Prabhupada's books and do exactly what Prabhupada is telling you to do. Chant Hare Krishna, strictly follow the four regulative principles, and you see all these devotees here in this temple room, become their servant. Do what any of these devotees ask you to do. You chant. You chant your rounds every day. Are you chanting? Are you strictly following the regulative principles? Good. So when you come to the temple, go to all these devotees, my dear Prabhu, how can I serve you? I bet you if you go to Subhas right now, he'll give you a good service. If you go to Rabindranath, he'll give you a good service. You go to Amala Bhakta, he'll give you some service. That is one thing that will never be bankrupt in the Krishna consciousness movement. There's more than enough service. Right, Subhas? There's more than enough. So if you have that attitude, Prabhu, please give me service. Now, the next question is, well, Prabhu, what if I don't have any service? Then chant and read. If you chant and read, the service will come. When there's no service, chant and read. Okay? Fair enough? Next.
Just taking your last sentence, looks like that. But there is always service. Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, do this as an offering unto me. In this way, you'll be free from the bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. So when every breath you take, offer it to Krishna. Everything you look at, recognize it as belonging to Krishna and offer it with your eyes and your mind to Krishna. There's endless service. Of course, there's more direct service to devotees and to people. But when you are alone and there's supposedly nothing to do, eating for Krishna, sleeping for Krishna, whatever for Krishna, you'll always be in service.
I think Prem Sankirtan had a question or a comment.
His question. You said this statement then. You know, sometimes some people said, only Prabhupada can, he is pure devotee. It's true. It is Mahabhagavat. Nobody can be like Srila Prabhupada. And disciples should never think then he can ever attain, suppress your spiritual master. But in the same time, you said then, Prabhupada won, then we also want, should be pure devotee. So how we like, ordinary devotee, beginners.
What? Slow down. What was that last thing? How what?
How we ordinary, I speak of myself, ordinary devotee, low class. How I can think that way to really want to be pure devotee, and at the same time, back in my mind is, I cannot even try, to be on that level.
You want to know how to become a pure devotee,
yeah, because,
yes?
Because, you said...
Very simple, nectar of instruction. Prabhupada says, if you finish your 16 rounds every day, and you strictly follow the four regulative principles, gradually, step by step, you are elevated to the position of an Uttama Adhikari. Am I right? Did I quote that good enough? Huh? Yes. So are you chanting 16 rounds every day, Prem Sankirtan? Are you strictly following the four regulative principles? All right, then. You're on the way. You're on the way to becoming an Uttama Adhikari. Now be patient, be a good boy, and do Sankirtan. Jutta Karma Das.
If I understood his question, wouldn't that be, he's saying, like we're saying, only Prabhupada, he's a pure devotee, then if we're aspiring to be a pure devotee, then isn't that offensive? Is that what you're saying? Oh, okay. I guess I didn't understand your question.
I said, become like that in the sense that you are the real thing. What am I going to ask? Okay, everybody, raise your hand if you think you're a pure devotee. Who's going to... Do you think like that? I know I'm not. Maybe you are. I know I'm not. So I'm saying, yes, but I want to get to that platform. That's all. I want to become to the point where I'm self-realized. Okay? Anybody here think they're self-realized? If you are, Fantastic. I offer you my humble obeisances. All I'm saying is I'm not, and I want to get there. That's all. And I should get there. I'm supposed to get there. Yes, Archita Das?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a wonderful presentation, Prabhu. There's this English statement, he who knows and knows he knows is a wise man, you should seek him. So that's the position of the devotee. On one hand, they're very humble. Prabhupada is extremely humble, waiting in line for the bathroom with his early disciples who didn't know anything. But on the other hand, he knew he was a, you know, empowered living entity. Once Brahmananda said, I think it was Brahmananda who approached him and told him that some astrologer in Mayapur said that he was the greatest person living on earth. And Prabhupada said, yes. He didn't say, oh, no. So that's why it's hard to understand pure devotees. On the one hand, they know what they know. Otherwise, how could they teach? How could they preach all around the world if they don't know that they know? So they know they know. They know their position. They know where they're situated. But on the other hand, they still feel lower than the grass in the street, humbler, you know, like that. That's why it's difficult to recognize a pure devotee.
I think Bhrigupati has more, even though we're over time.
Take a second to clear Amala Bhakta's good name and uphold his Vaishnav scholarship. Yesterday he made the statement in during the questions and answers that the Paramatma was existing in the spiritual world as well as in the material world, and some of us doubted him because we had heard statements to the contrary in Prabhupada's books, and I think it's in the first canto, and I can't remember where else. But I did some research. Well, actually, he put me onto this, and this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 2, Text 46. Prabhupada says in the first sentence of his purport, it says, Sri Krishna in his Paramatma feature lives in the hearts of all living beings in both the transcendental and mundane creations. So apparently he knew what he was talking about. No, that's the first sentence of the purport. That was the first sentence of the purport. And it clearly... So it seems to clearly state that the Paramatma feature...
Yes, I also heard that statement yesterday. And I would like to chime in and agree with Dravida that there are other statements that seemingly contradict that. In Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 15, there is this statement from the Upanishads, the super soul coming out of the body enters the Brahma Jyoti. Right? And also, I believe, when we studied Puranjan, there was that description that when the living entity leaves the spiritual world, Krishna accompanies. So, I agree. So maybe you should, yes, before we make, shall we say, a jump to a broad, definitive conclusion, better...
I acknowledge there are statements to the contrary, and they're definitely there. But I just wanted to say, he wasn't talking through his hat there. There is a statement to support what he was saying as well.
Yes, Amala Bhakta.
Really discrepancy. I don't see really any discrepancy unless you think that the Paramatma acting in the spiritual world is acting the same way as he acts in the material world. Of course not. The Paramatma in the material world acts to guide us and to lift us up and to advise us and to help us to get to the spiritual world. Consequently, his function in the spiritual world would be completely different. Namely, it's basically to entrench the realization that the devotee has. For example, if Paramatma is in my heart and I am always aware, since I've already reached that state, I'm always aware of Krishna, then if I'm not seeing the physical form of Krishna, for example, just as I'm seeing you at the moment, Nirantara Prabhu, I still, if I have a complete picture of you in my heart, I'm not really separated from you in that sense. And that's the only sense that I can understand, at least in my limited conception, that it is basically that one has a connection, one has his realization, and that is continuous, it's non-broken, and it remains unbroken as a result of the Lord being with the devotee, whether there's a physical form, or even if his eyes are closed, he's always with Krishna in the spiritual world.
I am shall we say, this discussion could go on for about several hours. And we are already over time. So I am now going to end this sacrifice. And we should now take the remnants of the sacrifice called Krishna Prasad. But I'm sure this discussion will continue. Hare Krishna. Anything I said was wrong? I don't buy that Super Soul is in the spiritual world. I don't buy it. Because, Super Soul is there in the heart, not in the soul. It's a separate thing. Yeah. And I always understood there's no need for Super Soul because everybody's in oneness, right? Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, the only reason we need a Super Soul is because we have this unity. We have a material.